stars twinkle in the night sky above a blanket of white clouds. Lying far below are hillside towns and villages, their lights scattered beside a glimmering river winding down from the distant horizon. At the boundary wall of this magical kingdom stands a magnificent fairy tale castle with the river flowing through it. A flag flutters atop its tallest spire as fireworks explode in the cloud-streaked sky. Glittering lights arc over the castle turrets. Disney. Words appear. Disney presents. Various small glass animals line a shelf.
Greetings, fellow humans. What you are about to see is a historical record of my life as a detective. It has been rigorously fact-checked.
A ticking clock.
It is also highly confidential. But I have agreed to document it because my expertise is invaluable to anyone who ever wanted to be a detective. Which is probably everyone.
Paintings line the walls.
That said, do not try any of what you are about to see at home.
China plates decorate shelves.
The high-stakes world of a professional detective is dangerous, fast-moving, and unpredictable.
A man reads in a chair.
Especially the part involving a truck, a window, and a polar bear.
The soft light of day filters in through a window that looks down a tree-lined street. A world of success. The man sets his newspaper aside and rises. A truck drives down the street. It swerves and hits a trash can. He walks past a drink cart next to a record player. A record spins. Dust fills the air. The record player is covered with debris. A door opens to slippered feet.
Mistakes were made.
An old truck sits in the living room. A large polar bear stands in the truck bed.
But I should back up. The story, not the truck.
A tea kettle hits the floor.
This is where I live.
A city on a river.
Well, not there, but here.
A red arrow points down.
North Portland, in the shadow of this water tower. My name is Failure, Timmy Failure. My name used to be spelled like this.
A French spelling.
But somebody changed it, and now it's spelled like this.
The common spelling.
The name is misleading because I am anything but.
Timmy holds up paper.
I am only concerned with one thing.
He drops it.
Greatness.
He wears a red scarf.
I am the founder, president, and CEO of my own detective agency. It's the best detective agency in town. Perhaps the world. This is my latest case. Maybe the biggest of my storied career.
In the attic, a coat hanger falls on his cluttered desk. He tosses it and looks at the polar bear.
And that's my partner. His name is Total. He's a 1,500-pound polar bear. He's classified as a vulnerable species because his Arctic home is melting.
On an old television set, a glacier calves into the ocean.
So he wandered for food.
Total rides an iceberg.
First by sea.
A U.S. Customs and Border Protection guard bites into a sandwich. His eyes widen as Total walks to the gate.
And then by land.
The gate arm rises and Total walks through.
Until he came to Portland, Stump Town, the city at the end of the trail.
You're just leaving?
No, I need to live my life.
Well, why can't you live in here with us like you promised?
No, I'm sorry, babe.
You're sorry, all right. You're sorry, loser.
A place where things get strange.
A young Timmy eats cereal at the kitchen table.
And he found our house.
The back door falls in and Total looks inside.
And my cereal.
Timmy watches as Total squeezes inside. He slides the bowl to Total.
We buy good cereal.
Total approaches and eats from the bowl.
Initially, he displayed a fair degree of diligence and responsibility. So I amended the official license of my agency and agreed to make him a full partner. Which was a mistake.
A handmade sign reads Total Failure. In the attic, Total sleeps as Timmy works.
The diligence and responsibility were a ruse. It's something polar bears do.
Moving down a tree-lined road, a title appears. Timmy Failure. Mistakes were made. The back of Timmy's blue helmet bobs along. A piece of tape on the helmet reads Greatness. Total slowly walks down the sidewalk.
My mode of transportation is the key to my success. It's called the Failure Mobile.
A self-balancing scooter.
It is an imposing machine that allows me unlimited access to the entire town. And it commands the respect of others. Because on the mean streets of Portland, respect is critical. It should also be noted that it belongs to my mother, who won it in a church raffle.
I won!
She stands. She's younger than the elderly players and has purple hair. They stare at her.
She calls it her stress reliever.
She rides at night smiling.
And so she set forth some restrictions on when and how I can use it.
Never, ever, ever.
I thought that was vague, so I use it.
He rides past a sidewalk filled with artwork. Total lumbers along.
My relationship with local law enforcement is problematic.
He stares at a policeman.
They admire my talents, but resent the fact that I refuse to collaborate. But I don't have to, because business is booming. Portland is a city that is rife with crime, corruption, and Russians.
Timmy stops and glares at a bearded man sipping from a small cup in front of a Russian food truck. The man stares back. On a porch, Timmy turns. Total upends a trash can and sticks his head inside.
That's a demerit. Hello, Gunner.
Hey, Timmy. What do you want?
I understand someone stole your backpack.
Gunner blinks.
Yeah, so?
You may be wondering how I know that.
I posted signs all over school.
I want you to know that we are professional and discreet.
He hands Gunner a handwritten card. Total Failure, Inc. Detective Agency. We won't fail despite what the name says.
We can find your backpack.
Who's we?
Timmy looks over his shoulder. On his hind legs, Total holds the trash can in his paws and meets Timmy's stare.
We're wasting valuable time.
Inside.
I normally keep my backpack right there, but all I really care about is my Swiss Army knife. It was in the front pocket.
So you're Swiss?
No.
But you vibe with knives?
I got it for scouting. I'm trying to earn my survival skills badge. You gotta survive in the woods for 2 days with only a knife.
Survive what exactly?
Gunner shrugs.
Whatever comes.
Timmy's eyes widen. In a misty forest, a man in a black mask and open vest wields two swords. He spins and slashes the air. Gunner and scout troop stare at him. Gunner holds his knife.
Good luck, son.
The troop leader nudges Gunner forward. In Gunner's room.
Maybe go for the bird watching badge instead.
Timmy walks to a small telescope by a window. He peers into it.
I have to do my homework now, Timmy.
Is this for enemy surveillance?
It's for looking at stars.
Good cover. I think we're done here.
You didn't do anything.
Incorrect. I surveyed the crime scene and reached a comprehensive conclusion.
Timmy takes out his tape recorder.
Backpack. Gone. I'll show myself out.
He walks toward two doors and goes in the smaller one on the left.
That's the closet.
Correct.
In the hallway, Timmy pauses and turns. A sign on a door reads, Gabe's Crib. No entry, never. Inside, a boy sharpens a wooden stick with a Swiss Army knife. Timmy opens the door.
Who are you?
Timmy, who are you?
Gabe.
You live here?
No, someone just put my name on the wall. It's with the dumb scarf.
Timmy brushes his red scarf.
It's distinctive.
Yeah, it's also not normal.
Normal is for normal people.
Close the door, weirdo.
Timmy shuts the door behind him.
With you on the outside.
Timmy stares at him.
Get out, or I'm gonna pound you.
Timmy backs out of the room, staring at Gabe. A backpack hangs on the back of the door with the label Gunner. In the hall, Timmy digs his recorder from his pocket.
Timmy, you're nuts for going in there. Gabe's in middle school. He's got a screw loose. I was looking for clues. Did you find any? Of course. Gabe, very rude.
Timmy sits on a river dock. Total swims below a sign that reads love. Timmy holds his recorder.
Backpack. Gone. Gabe, very rude. What am I missing? As darkness falls, I continue to wrestle with the complexities of the Gunner case The good news is that my mother has two jobs, so I am left alone to work in peace and quiet. The bad news is my cramped office conditions.
In the attic.
Timmy!
Oh! Toto wakes and bumps the desk.
It's inhumane.
Timmy?
In a converted bus diner.
I have plans to renovate, so I scheduled a teleconference.
He grabs his phone.
Mother?
Yep?
It would be helpful if you would get rid of all your clothes. I need more office space.
I'm not getting rid of my clothes. You need a bigger office. You can look for it somewhere else. Eat your burger.
She takes his phone.
Server.
Yeah?
I need the real estate listings.
Oh, are you serious?
It's not.
I am.
No, that's... Thank you.
Oh. Okay.
Eat.
I'll probably move my office downtown. More prestige.
Why limit yourself to downtown? It's your world headquarters. You gotta think bigger.
Bigger?
Yeah. Like, I always wanted to live in New York City. The music scene, museums, the Broadway shows. You would love Broadway, buddy. That's where you should have your office.
Timmy stares off. Lights sparkle on a marquee, now playing Failure the Musical. All shows sold out. On stage, men dressed as sailors and women in dresses spin and dance around Timmy at his desk. Timmy frowns and shakes his head. A spotlight shines on him and the dancers. A crescent moon hangs above. A light shines on it, revealing Toto sitting in the curve of the moon. Glitter falls from the ceiling. The dancers smile and pose. Timmy stares ahead, solemn. The moon lurches and Toto falls from the curve. At the diner.
I'll stay in Portland.
His mother smiles.
I tell you what, if you finish all of your food, we'll pick up the real estate listings on our way home.
Commercial real estate?
Of course. More prestige.
Timmy grabs his recorder.
Note to file. Consider hiring mother for global planning position.
Thanks, buddy.
She eats a French fry as Timmy looks beyond her shoulder. The lights of downtown Portland glow and blink.
And so I set my lofty sights on a new world headquarters befitting my agency.
Red lights atop a building spring to life. Total Failure, Inc. In Timmy's room, he browses through the listings.
Psst.
Total looks through the window.
Rents are higher than anticipated. It's urgent we crack the Gunner case.
He closes the pamphlet. He turns out the light. Sunlight slowly creeps up the walls as night turns to day.
Timmy, get up!
Outside, Timmy passes a sign, "Before I die, I want to," with goals written.
And once we crack the Gunner case, bingo bango, we'll be making billions.
A goal on the sign reads, "Achieve greatness."
And with all that cash, we'll be able to open our new office downtown. We'll return to Gunner's after school. Dust for fingerprints. Take some hair samples.
Outside school.
Hey, Timmy! Come on, you're gonna be late!
The boy walks inside with his classmates.
We'll reconvene at recess.
Toto looks at him. Timmy shoulders his backpack.
I don't like it either. School policy. They're anti-bear.
He walks across the street. A sign outside of school, "Join us in celebrating Animal Awareness Month."
Hypocrites.
Inside a classroom.
You're late, Failure. Again.
Mr. Crocus, he's problematic.
Oh, and Failure, it's your turn to take care of Hammy Ham. Pick him up at Maxine's house tomorrow after school.
I can't. Busy.
I don't mind taking care of Hammy Ham for another week. Or longer.
No. Failure. You pick up that hamster or you get detention.
Timmy stares off inside a jail cell. He holds clothes and sheets.
What are you in for?
Murder. You?
Not caring for the class hamster.
In school.
I'll get the rodent.
Good choice.
Timmy sits at his desk.
The people I sit with are also problematic. Like her.
Hi, Timmy.
Molly Moskins. She smiles too much and smells like a tangerine.
Clear your desks. We're going to have a quiz.
And him, Charles Tookus. Prefers to be called Rolo. He's a former employee of my agency.
Is this a surprise quiz?
Did you know about it?
No.
Then, surprise.
Rolo hands out papers.
I'm totally unprepared.
He has a nervous condition, so I had to let him go. But she's the most problematic. I call her the Nameless One,
because I am never, ever going to talk about her.
Her face is hidden.
Ever.
Now, you can expect four more of these quizzes before the end of the year.
Is that even legal?
I used to think Scantron tests were formulaic and demoralizing. Now I see them as a form of artistic expression.
Five people stand in an art gallery, chins in hands. Optical answer sheets with drawings of a pig, water tower, and pants hang on the wall.
One final thing. All remaining quizzes will be graded on the combined average of your quadrant.
What? Why?
I'm attempting to foster collaboration, Mr. Tookus. Working together may be the only chance you have of surviving middle school next year.
We're dead.
Why?
Timmy doesn't study. He'll tank our grade.
Grades are the least of my concerns, Willow Tookus.
What are your concerns, Timmy?
Timmy looks to the nameless girl. A black box obscures her face.
I cannot collaborate with the nameless one.
Well, I don't know what that means exactly, but I'm sure we can problem solve the situation.
Molly Moskins, do you have something you'd like to share?
No, but Timmy does, and I think he should be heard.
Oh, well, if something is troubling you, Mr. Failure, then by all means, stand up and share. Stand up.
Timmy stands. The class stares at him.
Well, speak up, Failure. We're all waiting.
Timmy glances around.
You can do it, Timmy.
Say something, Timmy.
As I expected. Now sit down, Failure.
But sitting with the nameless one was not an option.
Sit down. Or go to the principal's office.
So I was forced to improvise.
He shoves his desk to the back of the room.
What are you doing now?
Sitting down, but over here.
All right, that's it. Get out. Get out of my class. Without the desk.
Timmy throws up his hands and walks out. On the playground.
Recess is the only opportunity I have to do global strategy planning for the agency.
Timmy sits against the chain link fence.
So I sit in the one spot that allows my business partner to participate.
Toto lays on the other side.
And where no one else can listen in on our highly confidential meetings. Like the other kids.
Children swing and play.
Or the nameless one.
She plays ball with other kids, black box over her face.
Or the Russians.
Two bearded young men ride bikes past the school. They and Timmy exchange looks. Timmy looks at the yard. A basketball slowly rolls toward him. A boy chases it.
I wouldn't approach the fence.
Why not?
For your own safety.
Timmy rolls the ball to him.
Whatever, weirdo.
The boy runs off.
Ignore him. Jealous.
You'll have to return to Gunner's without me after school. I'm going to be delayed.
Inside, Timmy's mom sits with Mr. Crocus.
Now, by my estimation, we've had 11 meetings so far this year, and neither Timmy's grades nor his behavior are improving. And worse, he doesn't seem to care.
I know it may not seem like it sometimes, but Timmy does care. He cares in a different way.
Well, be that as it may, if this keeps up, we're going to have to suspend him.
No, that won't be necessary. He'll do better, I promise.
Miss Failure, as you know, this is Timmy's final year at Carveret. He's supposed to move on to middle school next year with the rest of his class.
Timmy frowns. In pouring rain, students march into a large box truck labeled Our Crusher of Souls Middle School Student Shipping.
Needless to say, this will be a significant change for your son. Middle school is a much bigger place. It can be quite intimidating.
The box truck drives to an imposing building.
The classes are larger.
Timmy enters a door marked sixth grade. All heads turn to him. The classroom stretches on and on.
The teacher-student ratio is extreme. And the amount of schoolwork will increase substantially.
She shifts in her chair. On a conveyor belt, a stack of textbooks drops down.
It will be an exceedingly heavy workload.
Timmy staggers carrying the load of books. Children line up at the homework distribution center.
The point is, Miss Failure, that we've made the mistake of coddling your son for far too long. And when he gets to middle school, that's over. Finished. He's going to have to stop living in his own world.
I understand. Absolutely. Timmy, tell Mr. Crocus that you're sorry.
For what exactly?
For disrupting the class.
I'm trying to focus on my quiz, Mother. My quadrant is depending on me.
Timmy.
Timmy looks at her.
Mistakes were made.
His mom blinks and looks at Mr. Crocus. He glares at Timmy. Timmy draws a hamster on his optical answer sheet, Hammy Ham, in a car.
I can't believe this. If you get suspended, I am screwed. I'm serious, Timmy. I can't afford childcare, and I can't afford to stay home with you. We can barely pay our rent as it is. You gotta help me out here, buddy, okay? I'm serious.
Mother was upset, but she didn't need to be. The solution was obvious. Fifth grade would be the final year of my formal education.
They drive toward the water tower. In the kitchen, Timmy sits under the table in front of Total. His mom works above him.
Okay, so what leads did you dig up on the Gunner case? What do you mean? You accomplished nothing? We need to crack the Gunner case so we can move our offices downtown.
Total shifts his head, knocking the table.
Timmy, stop. What are you doing?
Not my fault. Disgruntled employee.
Well, stop. I'm trying to pay some bills. You need to get ready for bed. Come out from under there, please.
He scrambles out and stands, adjusting his scarf. He looks at the bills.
These bills are nothing. When my agency expands, I will be able to pay you 10 times your current salary.
You don't need to worry about my salary. All you have to worry about is school. Promise me you're going to try harder.
Affirmative.
You need to learn to say you're sorry sometimes, like today, okay?
Affirmative.
Affirmative. Affirmative.
He frowns at her.
That's not normal.
Good. Normal is for normal people.
She holds him in her lap and blows on his ear.
Stop that. It's unprofessional. Do it again.
Timmy smiles. Daytime, a handwritten flyer on a pole reads, "Beware, purse snatcher in neighborhood." Timmy rides the failure mobile.
For a detective, time equals money. So it's profoundly annoying when I'm forced to do such trivial things, like pick up the class hamster.
He hangs his helmet on the handlebars of the failure mobile and walks into a yard. Total stretches and licks at a hummingbird feeder. Timmy frowns at him.
Keep an eye on things.
Hi, Timmy. We're here for Hammy Ham.
Affirmative.
Maxine grimaces.
Can you keep a secret?
Timmy frowns at her. Inside, Hammy Ham lies upside down and still in his cage.
Sure he's dead?
He hasn't moved for 3 days.
Note to file. Possible homicide. I'll need a shoebox.
Why? What are you gonna do?
Take the body to the lab. Open an investigation. This'll probably hit the papers.
It's not my fault. I love animals. I'm on the planning committee for Animal Awareness Month.
You should consider stepping down till this blows over. Which it probably won't.
Timmy closes Hammy Ham inside a box marked the deceased. He speaks into a walkie-talkie.
Papa Bear, coming out with the body.
Timmy starts downstairs, pauses, and looks out a window. Outside, Total peeks over the lip of an above-ground pool. Total launches himself onto an inflatable seal pool toy and shakes it.
So unprofessional.
Outside, Timmy hurries down the front steps.
With suspected homicide, it's important to get the corpse to the morgue as quickly as possible for forensic analysis.
He stops and stares at the empty street.
Which I would do right now if the failure mobile was here. But it's not. So I calmly considered the implications to my business.
Total failure inks, lights shut off.
And my domestic life.
Never, ever. ever, ever.
And my future.
Mr. Failure?
A stern teacher glares.
Scarf. Off.
Timmy pulls his scarf off. Gabe smirks beside him.
And I make a brief note in my detective log. Timmy, dead.
Walking down another street.
We've talked about this. You're never supposed to swim when you're on duty. You're supposed to keep an eye on things.
Hi, Timmy.
You are receiving multiple demerits for this.
He's fired up today.
I know. That's so exciting.
Finding the failure mobile is now our top priority.
He turns into a yard.
Cancel all other cases.
Hi, Timmy.
Hi, Mrs. Tookus.
Is everything all right?
I need to see Rollo. Urgent matters.
Oh, he's not here. He's at his fencing class.
A man points to various types of fences.
Picket, chain link, lattice.
Do you have the address?
At the fencing class, students clad in white with fine mesh face protectors practice.
All right, guys, hold with me for a second. Let's try to focus on bending our knees, doing good actions. Let's concentrate on footwork as we do it. Hayden, you're doing great. Anton, a little more speed.
Timmy watches faster. Through the window. Rollo notices action, him, brows furrowed.
Stuff. Rollo, can you focus, please? Girls, try to set your corner up. Good actions, in and out.
On a bench, Timmy holds his recorder.
Note to file. Rollo training to be an assassin. Possible betrayal. Remain vigilant.
Across the street, Total tries to heave himself into a dumpster. His hind legs scrabble, and he slides inside. The lid closes.
That's a demerit.
Timmy and Rollo walk down the street.
It's obviously a case of industrial sabotage. They must have known the failure mobile is the key to my success.
Fine, but I have to go home and study. You have to study. We're being graded together now.
You're too nervous, Rollo took us. That's why I fired you.
You didn't fire me. I quit.
Incorrect. But the point is, I'm willing to hire you back at a higher salary, considering your new skill set.
What new skill set?
That of an assassin.
I'm not training to be an assassin. My dad thinks fencing will help me get into Stanford.
Sport is a waste of your talents, Rollo Tookus. I'll speak to your father.
No way! You always get me into trouble.
Absurd.
What about Operation Sumo?
Inside a glass shop, Rollo wears a sumo suit to a walkie-talkie.
Where are you? Over.
Outside. Over.
Outside? Why are you outside? Over.
Can I help you?
Ambush! Run! Over!
Rollo runs toward the door.
We needed a disguise.
I was grounded for a month. What are you doing?
Timmy guides him into an alley.
Open it. Then maybe you'll understand the gravity of this situation.
Rollo takes the shoebox and lifts the lid.
Is that Hammy Ham?
Correct. He's been murdered.
Did Maxine Schellenberger do it?
We won't know until we do an autopsy, but I've suspended all cases until we find the failure mobile.
Hey, maybe the same person that killed Hammy Ham stole the failure mobile.
Good point. That means it couldn't be Maxine, because she was with me when it was stolen.
That means it was a professional hit.
That means...
the Russians! Okay, I'm in. I'll help you find the failure mobile, but you have to promise me they'll study. Deal?
Deal.
They shake pinkies.
I'm going to see Flo.
Why?
Gather intel.
That's not studying!
In a library from behind, a woman with tattooed arms wears a denim biker vest that says Reader Bleed. The back patch is an open book with wings. She glances around the room and grabs a desk mic.
If you are disrupting the solitude of this sacred place, I will find you and silence you. Thank you.
Timmy and Total cross the street to the library. Total bumps into two parked cars. He looks around and lopes off.
That's a demerit.
The woman in denim frowns as Timmy enters.
I need your help on an urgent matter, Flo.
Of course you do. It's always urgent with you, Timmy. What's in that box?
You do not want to know.
He writes on a piece of paper.
Read this. I need any intel you have on them.
The Russians?
You weren't supposed to say it out loud.
Okay. Russian travel, Russian cooking, Russian authors...
Negative.
He writes.
Then could you be a little more specific?
He slides her another piece of paper.
Russian operatives.
You said it out loud again.
So you want a Russian spy novel?
No, I want intel on actual spies living locally.
Okay, Timmy, listen. You spent all winter cooped up in here. It's nice out. Just go and play. I'm not your babysitter.
Hi, Timmy.
Molly beams at him.
Hello. I finished with the flyers,
though. Good work, Molly.
Want to join our rally, Timmy? It's for Animal Awareness Month.
Are you aware that the school has an anti-bear policy?
Really?
Yes, it's tearing the school apart.
I didn't know anything about it. Tell me more.
I can't discuss it right now. I'm collaborating with Flo.
Oh, we're done collaborating. I don't know any Russians, Timmy.
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Hold on.
Timmy grabs his recorder.
Molly Moskins. Source. Proceed.
Boris. He worked at our church, but he died.
Probably not Boris.
And Karina. Karina's part Russian.
The nameless one is part Russian.
Why do you call her the nameless one? Do you like her or something?
Don't be absurd, Flo. Go on, Molly.
Well, her grandmother's from Russia, so that makes her part Russian.
A black box on Karina's face.
Finally, I can see the nameless one for who she really is.
It drops away.
A Russian operative.
She stands in Red Square.
How reliable is this intel?
Very. She did a show and tell last year with these Russian nesting dolls that her baba gave her. That's Russian for grandma.
I think we're done here. I'll circle back, Flo.
No need.
Timmy grabs the box and a walkie-talkie.
Papa Bear, ready to move.
Molly gazes after Timmy.
He's so fascinating.
Flo shakes her head. At home, upstairs.
Timmy? You see my compact? The whole mirror?
Negative.
Are you sure?
Affirmative.
Can you get the door?
Can't. Deep in a case.
Timmy, please, my friend is here.
She applies lipstick in a mirror.
Why?
I invited him over for dinner.
Did you run a background check?
No, I know him. Besides, he works for the police department.
A man in riot gear with face mask and shield waits outside holding roses.
We met him at the pharmacy. Remember?
The meter maid?
His name is Crispin, and he's nice.
He's an underachiever.
Just go on, please.
But he gave us a ticket.
He took it back.
Which makes him a corrupt underachiever.
Timmy, would you go now?
She puts on stockings. Downstairs, Timmy stands on a stool and looks out the front door peephole. A man with a soul patch beard stands outside.
Absurd.
The man holds a wrapped box and beverages. Timmy steps out.
Hey, Timmy. What's up, man? I'm Crispin. You remember me?
I remember everything.
That's cool. I don't, man. I forget everything. I have a horrible memory. Especially with names. Yeah. Bad with names. Good with people. Bad with names. Is your mom home?
Potentially. What's that?
I bought chocolates for your mom. Oh, I got some for you too, dude.
Crispin reaches in his breast pocket.
It's a lucky rabbit's foot. I got a collection of these.
In an operating room.
What have we got?
Another one, doctor. Back left foot. Gone.
A rabbit lies on an operating table.
I can't accept that. It's Animal Awareness Month.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know that. That's awesome, though. So I should hold on to this, or?
I'll keep it as evidence.
Hi.
Hey.
Timmy, did you ask Crispin to come inside?
Negative.
Well, could you please, now?
You may enter our home.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. These are for you.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you.
He hands her the box.
Come in. Come
all
in.
Right.
We're eating out back.
Great.
Timmy's mom sighs at him. He holds up the foot.
He may miss rabbits.
On the patio, the foot lies in a plastic bag marked evidence.
This is good. You're an excellent cook.
Oh, thank you. I didn't make this, though. I was going to cook, and then I just ran out of time.
But still really good.
Timmy picks up his yellow phone handset.
Mother.
Not now, Timmy.
I think we should end this meal.
Stop.
He doesn't have proper clearance.
She takes the phone.
Whoa, clearance for what?
No, nothing. He's just pretending.
No, I'm not.
You sure it wasn't a meter maid joke? I get those a lot.
No. No, it wasn't a meter maid joke. Was it, Timmy?
It's okay. I get it. You know, people really don't like meter maids. It's actually why I became one.
So that you wouldn't be liked?
No, so I could change people's perceptions. Turn negative into a positive. For example, if I do give a ticket, which I hate to do,
right,
people get really upset. I'll usually write a little note, like, I'm sorry, or I know this is a real drag. And if they engage, I just try to listen, hear them out.
Huh.
Can I have my phone back now?
No.
You know, Timmy, if you're interested, I could show you around the precinct sometime.
Negative. I don't collaborate with local law enforcement.
Oh, how come?
I have a partner.
Oh, that's cool. Who's that?
In an office.
Meter nearing expiration on the southwest corner of Alpine and Webster. We have a blue Dodge Neon in a passenger loading only zone. No passengers.
Total sweeps away Crispin's computer monitors.
I'll introduce you sometime.
Great. Let's make that happen.
Daytime, Total rests his head on the bench outside school. Timmy walks into school alone in an office.
Do you know why you're here, Timmy?
Negative.
Well, it seems like you've been having a difficult time in class, so the school thought we should talk about it.
Mistakes were made.
Or we can talk about anything else that's on your mind.
A nameplate on the desk reads Mr. Jenkins.
Nice office. What's the rent?
Comes with the job. You looking for office space?
Affirmative, but downtown.
What do you need the office space for?
I think we're done here.
Mr. Jenkins looks over his shoulder.
We have 20 more minutes, actually.
Timmy kicks the desk.
Is this armor plated?
I think it's just metal. Timmy, just so you know, whatever you share with me in this room stays in this room. This is a safe space.
So no bugs?
Bugs?
Listening devices?
Oh, no. There are no bugs.
Order of conditions?
Yes, thank you. Inside the Russian's van, the two hipsters wear headphones as reels of tape roll. They nod. Karina also listens and gives a thumbs up. In the office.
Doubtful. My work is very important. A lot of people rely on me.
Like who?
My mom, my partner, the city of Portland.
Oof. It's a lot of pressure.
How much more time now?
Mr. Jenkins glances behind him.
18 minutes.
Yeah, definitely not armor.
Outside, Total walks down a sidewalk. A tree swing bumps his nose. He bites it, rips it off the tree.
I can't believe Karina's a Russian agent.
It's true. Molly Moskin's confirmed it.
They walk.
She's always so nice to everyone.
It's her cover. I saw through it.
These houses are huge.
Crime pays.
I wonder what Karina's house looks like.
I have a pretty good idea.
A fortified water tower stands on a mountain top. A sign blinks from the top, Evil Inc.
Why do you think the Russians want the failure mobile anyway?
They just want to sabotage the agency so they can execute their master plan.
Yeah, Russians always have a master plan. There it is, $24.95.
A large, three-story corner house.
Just as I imagined, pure evil.
Rollo frowns at him by a hedge. Timmy raises a stick with a compact mirror taped to it.
We have to be very careful where we step.
How come?
The property's probably loaded with tripwires.
Yeah. Down!
They crouch.
They're armed.
I think they're just squirt guns.
Correct. She's probably squirting a corrosive acid.
No way, they're laughing.
Some acids burn your skin and make you laugh.
Hi, Rollo. Hi, Timmy.
They stand.
Hi, Karina.
Hello.
What are you guys doing?
Just standing on this public sidewalk.
A white SUV pulls into the driveway.
That's my dad. Bye, you guys.
Karina runs to the car. The other girl follows. A gull-wing door opens.
Whoa. Look at that car. It's so cool.
It's probably stolen.
No way. They're rich. Her dad owns a bank.
What?
Yeah. He talked to our class on career day, remember?
I purposely did not listen.
Karina's dad hugs her.
Well, he did. And he is very nice. He gave us all free pens. Everybody really liked him.
Let's go.
They walk down the street.
What's wrong with you?
We've been duped. The failure mobile isn't here.
So where is it?
If you wanted to keep something safe, where would you keep it?
Under my mattress.
Wrong. A bank.
We can't break into a bank. We'll go to prison for the rest of our lives.
Rollo took us. Still has nervous condition.
Timmy surfaces from water wearing a headlamp in the dark.
There are many horrific places where I wouldn't want to be. Menaced by beavers. Barreling down Montnoma Falls.
In a barrel, Timmy plunges over the falls.
Forced to attend the World Naked Bike Ride.
People in various stages of dress pass Timmy in the street on bikes.
And then see Mr. Crocus. But this place tops the list.
Where's my Segway?
In their garage.
Answer me, Timmy.
Mistakes were made.
Oh, Timmy! That was the one nice thing I had! The one nice thing! I told you never to use it! I won that thing at church, and I told you how much I liked it!
Ugh. Facing a code red situation, I improvised.
I lent it to Molly Moskins. Who's Molly Moskins?
A girl in my class. She needed it for her stupid rally.
Jimmy, that was not yours to lend.
It's not my fault. She smells like a tangerine.
Who does? Molly Moskins?
Affirmative.
Timmy, I told you never to touch my Segway, right? And I'm glad that you're getting involved in school, but this kind of behavior's got to stop.
She takes out her phone.
Okay, this is work. I have to take this. I want my Segway back the moment that rally is done.
She brushes by Timmy. He watches her leave.
And I'm calling Molly Moskin's mother. And don't go anywhere.
If she was calling Molly Moskin's mother, I had to get to Molly first.
He runs off. Total watches from the porch.
And make a deal.
He runs by a mural. Long live the wild cards, misfits, and dabblers. He runs down an alley.
A CD backroom deal.
Inside Molly's treehouse.
Tea?
Timmy and Molly sit opposite each other.
Can we stick to business? Okay. So you want me to tell my mom, to tell your mom, that we're using your Segway in the rally?
Correct.
Why did you choose me?
My agency chose you.
Talent agency?
Detective agency.
Oh, did you hear about the purse snatchings? I saw it on the news.
I deal with bigger cases. Holy smokes!
A cat leaps on him.
That's my cat. Señor Burrito. Is it trained? Oh, she likes you. Probably because you're odd and mysterious.
Get it off me before I'm mauled.
Señor Burrito, vámonos, vámonos.
The cat jumps down.
Isn't this fun?
It's business. The future of my agency is at stake.
Okay, okay. So you want me to be your cover?
Affirmative.
Well, my answer is yes. I will cover you anytime, Timmy.
She reaches across the table and clasps his hands.
Be professional, Molly.
He withdraws his. Her face falls.
Fine.
She sits back.
I'll be professional. If you want my help, you have to sign up for the animal awareness rally. Negative. And?
She grabs a small pink bottle.
You have to paint my nails. Absurd. And when we're done, I'm gonna paint your nails. I think you've had too much tea. You want me to be your cover, don't you? Well, right now your cover isn't feeling very covery.
She holds out a hand, fingers pointed down. Timmy frowns. In their classroom,
blackmail comes in many shades, including hot pink.
Students take a test. Timmy and Molly sport hot pink nails. She smiles at him.
Psst. Did you study?
Negative.
We had a deal.
Timmy looks at Karina.
Would you help me with the pink?
No way.
No pink.
failure. No talking.
I wasn't talking. I was mouthing.
No mouthing either.
Timmy gives Mr. Crocus a thumbs up. Timmy and Rollo ride a bus over the steel bridge to downtown Portland.
If my mom finds out I went downtown, I'm dead.
She won't.
You just say that because your mom has no idea where you are. She works all the time.
Negative, I say it because this mission is highly classified.
This is a bad idea. Just know it.
Stop panicking. We have backup.
Timmy looks down the aisle at Total, who licks his paws, then looks at him. On a street corner across from a bank.
It's a vast complex. Numerous points of ingress and egress.
It's huge. This is nuts.
Did you bring the marbles?
Yes.
Timmy looks at an Ocean Beauty seafood truck. Total hurls a box of fish out the back. Timmy shakes his head. Rollo digs in his backpack.
What are these for, anyway?
Contingency plan. Let's put on the masks.
These are just on loan, by the way.
They haul out fencing masks. In the bank... Wearing the masks, they enter the vast lobby, their faces completely obscured.
Now what?
Follow me. The failure mobile is undoubtedly in the vault.
People are staring at us.
Jealous. Ignore them.
They walk down the center of the lobby. Timmy grabs paper from a table.
What are you doing?
Gathering intel.
Good idea.
A security guard approaches them.
Can I help you, boys?
We'd like to inspect your vault. It's very important, sir.
I'm afraid I can't let you do that.
Okay, then we'll just be heading home. Right, Timmy?
Negative.
Would you mind removing your masks?
Why?
Bank policy. No masks.
He points to a camera.
We need to see everyone's face.
We're being watched.
Of course we are. We're in a bank, and we're wearing fencing masks.
That's when it hit me. It was a trap.
Timmy looks at various bank employees.
We were surrounded. But who tipped them off?
Karina's father enters the lobby.
Of course. It was a family affair. Oh, no.
You need to remove those masks now.
Timmy, we need to remove our masks.
Never. Get ready.
Get ready for what?
The diversion.
Timmy throws the marbles container.
Plastic?
Yeah, it's safer.
The jar rolls to Karina's dad, who stops it with his foot and picks it up.
It's an ambush. Run!
Hey, stop!
Why did you do that?
Take me later!
I can't breathe!
Keep your mask on!
I'll suffocate!
Papa Bear! Need that!
Rollo crashes into the door and lies on the floor in Mr. Jenkins' office.
Okay, Timmy. Classified information, bugs, armor-plated desks. I have to ask. Are you a spy?
Negative.
Don't worry. I have to play sweat for bugs. We can talk freely.
I'm a detective.
Ah, yes, that makes sense. So you're having trouble with your agency?
Affirmative.
How so?
Someone is attempting to sabotage it.
Do you know who?
I can't discuss it with you. Ongoing investigation. But the success of my agency is at stake.
Oh, yeah? What is your idea of success?
Greatness.
Mr. Jenkins smiles slightly.
Have you talked to your mom about any of this?
Timmy shakes his head.
Why not?
She's collaborating with local law enforcement.
In a darkened movie theater, Crispin sits next to Timmy's mom. Timmy sits on her other side. Crispin puts his arm around her. Timmy looks at Crispin's hand.
Mother, can I have a tissue?
She hands him a napkin. Holding it, Timmy pries Crispin's hand off her shoulder. Timmy's mom frowns in Mr. Jenkins' office.
He's low level, but very corrupt. Also, he maims rabbits.
Well, I know this is probably not the best time to ask, but is there any chance I could hire you?
What's the case?
I'd like you to do a little undercover work for me in Mr. Crocus's class.
Timmy frowns.
You want intel?
Yeah, I want intel.
How in depth?
Let's start with the homework he's assigning you.
I want to see it, make sure it's on the up and up.
Completed homework?
Yes, completed.
That will definitely cost more.
Mr. Jenkins nods slowly. In the gym, Flo stands by a rolling blackboard in front of students.
All right, people, lock it down. Lock it down. Hey, we've got a rally to plan and awareness to raise. Now, who are my domesticated animals? Raise your hand.
About half the group.
Good. Who are my wild animals?
A similar showing.
All right. Is that everyone?
Maxine raises her hand.
Yes, you.
I don't know what group this is exactly, but I'd like to do a tribute to Hammy Ham, our class hamster. He's dead. Of natural causes.
I like it. Very thoughtful. Molly, take a note.
Copy.
Timmy.
He sits alone.
What group are you in?
I'm in no group.
You have to be in a group.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Not if he's protesting.
What is he protesting?
Probably the anti-bear policy.
There's an anti-bear policy?
Absolutely. I've heard about it, too.
From who?
Timmy.
Okay. Timmy, can you tell us about the anti-bear policy?
He stares at her.
Timmy, listen, if you feel strongly about something, you have to speak out. Right? Why do you think I'm here? Because I like you? No, definitely not. It's because I want to teach you guys to make an impact on the world. Because if you don't, we are collectively screwed. You got it? Timmy?
The other students look at Timmy. Timmy stares at Flo.
Come on. Buddy, you gotta give me something.
Affirmative.
All right. I'll take it. All right, people. Let's get up. Let's get to work. Got a lot to do. Come on, get to your tables. We've got 2 weeks to get this rally together. That's not a lot of time.
But that was a profound understatement. Time was running out. I had to liberate the failure-mobile from the bank tonight. And that meant sending my bear, who was often unreliable. I told him to avoid well-lit places.
At night,
he did not listen.
Toto crosses a pedestrian bridge.
I advised him to steer clear of any obvious entrance. He did not listen.
Toto grabs a trash can.
And I urged him to avoid any distractions. Once again, he did not listen.
Toto eats a box of donuts.
But most importantly, I told him to approach the failure mobile with caution and the utmost delicacy.
In the vault, lasers surround the failure mobile and helmet.
But he was too fat.
Toto crashes through a ceiling vent. In the gym, Timmy lies between the bleacher rows. He sits up. A custodian folds a section in. The other students are gone. Timmy pushes two large doors open to the outside.
Papa Bear, need to revise plan. Bank ceiling will not support girth.
Hey, Timmy! How you doing, buddy?
Crispin sits in a small cart. Toto watches.
What are you doing here?
Well, I was working the area. Thought you might want to ride home.
A good detective always keeps his enemies close. Sometimes, too close.
How was school?
They sit squished together.
You have some fun? Good times? Oh, hey, do you like bear claws? Picked some up at the bakery today. They're yummy.
In the OR.
What now?
His claws. They've all been clipped.
An unconscious brown bear lies on the table with bandaged claws.
No chance.
Oh, hey, do you bowl? You ever been bowling? I could take you bowling, give you some tips. And hey, Timmy, you know, I know it's weird I'm dating your mom.
It's weird that you want to give me tips on bowling.
Fair enough. I just want you to know, though, that I just really like her. She's so smart and cool and funny and pretty. Actually, kind of surprised she liked spending time with me. Not that I'm a bad guy at all. No, I just got some stuff I'm working out. Even going to therapy, which is going great.
On a couch.
I just feel like people think because we issue tickets that meter maids don't care, but we do. Mm-hmm. We care a lot about everything. I'm not a robot.
On a notepad, very boring.
Actually, I've been thinking about robots a lot lately, about how they could take over everything. You know, Timmy, when someone opens up like that to you, like, then you can say something.
Like what?
Oh, like, thank you for sharing, something like that.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, it's a normal thing to do.
Normal's for normal people.
What's that mean?
It means you're normal, and my mother doesn't like normal people.
Crispin frowns.
Okay.
He pulls the cart to the curb and stops.
So, first of all, just so you know, I'm not that normal. I'm a nice parking enforcement officer, which is rare. And secondly, what you said, that was kind of mean. I've never been mean to you.
Yes, you have.
What? When?
You just kidnapped me, for starters.
Oh, no, I didn't kidnap you, buddy. No, this isn't that. I'm just taking you home from school. Yeah, you can get out anytime you want. I never forced you to. Well, Timmy! Oh.
Timmy runs off, bag over shoulder.
Timmy! Oh, no, come on, buddy!
Having thwarted an attempted kidnapping, I sequestered myself in my office to focus on the Jenkins case.
His mom enters the attic and crosses her arms.
Hey. Hello, Mother.
Timmy avoids her gaze.
Doing your homework? That's great.
Casework. New client.
She sits.
So, I heard what happened today with Crispin. Do you want to talk about it?
Negative.
Timmy, I know it's not easy for you having someone new around, but I really like Crispin. He's a sweet guy, and we have fun together. Like yesterday, we just went for a drive. It was nice.
She and Crispin ride in the cart. She smashes mailboxes with a bat.
I hope you're not doing anything foolish.
No, I'm not. I promise. Timmy, I gotta talk to you about something else. It's important.
He looks at her.
We gotta move, Timmy.
Impossible.
No, it's not. They're raising our rent again, and I can't afford it.
What about my office?
You'll have to make a new one.
I can't do that. I have a very heavy caseload. This is not a good time for me.
But we don't have a choice. And besides, I found a nice apartment nearby, and you can still walk to school.
What does school have to do with any of this? I'm talking about my agency.
Timmy, I know it's not easy, but
I can't just move my business at the drop of a hat. Not to mention I'll have to make new business cards. These are useless. I'm not moving. It's out of the question.
Timmy.
Note to file. Do not hire Mother. Unreliable.
He storms downstairs. She puts her head in her hands.
No one but my bear understood the pressure I was under. Not my mother. Not my peers.
On a school bus.
They all failed to realize the true value of my agency. If they did, I would be spared such profoundly annoying disruptions, like moving and class trips.
He sits alone in a seat.
Failure?
Hello, Mr. Krogus.
I want you to listen to me very carefully. I don't want any trouble from you today. One misstep and you're suspended. Judge, no jury, no hope. Capiche?
What does capiche mean?
It means understand.
I capiche you. Hey, there it is! Look, the dam!
The Bonneville Lock and Dam is a National Historic Landmark.
At the dam.
Construction on it began in 1933. These turbines generate 1,200 megawatts of power. That is enough electricity to power 900,000 homes, or a city the size of Portland.
Cool.
Any questions?
Karina raises her hand.
Yes.
Do you have security at this site?
Security? Yeah. Your bus stopped at our guard station on the way in.
Is that it?
Well, I'm afraid I can't discuss that too far in depth for, well, security reasons.
She nods.
Why is she so concerned with security?
My dad said his two fists are the only security we need.
My grandma bought a huge dog and can maul an intruder.
Oh.
Have you heard about the purse snatchings?
I have. I saw it on the news.
There was a guy with a purse.
Mouth shut, or I'm putting you all on the bus back home.
Is that really an option?
Not for you, failure. You're going to stay here till I retire.
Timmy frowns, looks around. Karina's gone.
Another interesting fact about this dam is it was built during the Great Depression.
Oh, no.
On a wall, a row of light switches.
She's executing the master plan.
The light switch labels read hallway, janitorial closet, bathroom, stairwell, and power to Portland. Karina flips the power to Portland switch to off and smirks. Power goes out at Timmy's mom's work, the bank, Timmy's neighbor's greenhouse, Gabe's room, and Mr. Jenkins' office, then at Crispin's office.
3, 2, 1. I'm in the dark here, guys.
At the dam, the kids stare at a turbine.
Rolla, I need help.
No, I quit.
Leave me alone. The Russians want to destroy our way of life. They're going to plunge us into darkness.
I'm not worried about our way of life. I'm worried about saving my grade.
Do this, and I promise to study.
Rolo faces Timmy.
Swear?
Swear on my bear.
Timmy holds out his pinky. Rolo shakes it. The students walk down the hall.
Let's go, let's go. Keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. Let's go.
Mr. Crocus, I just wanted to say, I find field trips like this to be very helpful in my development.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing. I'm just being appreciative.
Well, if by appreciative you mean odd, then I agree. Now go, go.
Hey, kid! Stop right there!
Timmy runs down the stairs from the turbine. Mr. Crocus stands mouth agape.
Failure.
Timmy jogs around large equipment. Mr. Crocus trots down the stairs and looks around. Mr. Crocus jogs off. Behind him, Timmy runs up to where Mr. Crocus just stood. From above, the two run in circles around the turbine's base.
Where is that front?
There he is!
Timmy runs upstairs along a wall. Mr. Crocus grimaces. Outside, Timmy steps onto a narrow walkway.
Where is she?
He runs to another door and dashes inside. He looks up a flight of stairs above him.
Marina!
In the dam, with the students, Molly looks at Karina.
Where's Timmy?
Where, folks?
I don't know.
Timmy runs up the dimly lit staircase. Mr. Crocus enters the stairwell.
Failure!
Mr. Crocus looks at the long flight of stairs. On level 72, Timmy holds his walkie-talkie.
Papa Bear, Papa Bear, I have lost a target.
Request backup.
At the house.
Do you copy?
Total drinks from the showerhead.
Do you copy?
Timmy puts his walkie-talkie away.
It's too hurt.
He looks inside a room. He looks inside another. He rounds a corner and stops. A long hall stretches before him.
That's a lot of doors.
Winded, Mr. Crocus exits on level 72. He rests against a wall.
I'm gonna kill him.
Mr. Crocus jolts up and looks around. Timmy closes another door and looks at the last one. A sign reads, restricted area.
The target has entered the restricted area. I'm going in.
Failure! Get over here, you little rat!
I'm warning you. If you go through that door, I guarantee you'll never make it to sixth grade!
Timmy's brows raise and he pushes through the door. Outside, a large man-made lake lies peacefully under the sky. Timmy looks down, then up again.
Karina!
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 Echo!
Echo!
Timmy smiles and walks along the catwalk. His hand taps the railing as he looks around. Inside,
next time, I'm keeping him on a leash.
Timmy's red scarf snags and he halts. Mr. Crocus pushes the door open.
Failure! Get back in here! Now!
Can't. Stuck.
So unstick it.
Timmy fiddles with the scarf.
Still stuck.
Take it off and leave it there!
It's one of a kind.
Mr. Crocus looks down. The lake is visible through the slats in the walkway. He steps and reaches for the railing.
This is the final straw. Failure. No more threats. No more detention. I gave 43 years to this profession, and I never quit on a single student. I am quitting on you. Did you hear me? I am quitting on you, failure.
Inside.
This is Dan.
Dan waves.
He's going to open up the spillway and release a whole lot of water. Cover your ears. It's about to get very loud.
Dan presses the spillway controls button. On the walkway.
Oh, no! What's happening?
I don't know!
Take off the scarf. Take it off!
Never!
We're going to die!
My scarf! You ripped it!
Go! Go! Go!
A piece of scarf remains in the railing. They run to the door.
Locked!
What? Go! Go! Here comes the water!
Timmy lies on top of Mr. Crocus.
What are you doing?
Saving you!
We were two professionals, often at odds, now bound by adversity. But we had made one miscalculation. Water, us.
An arrow points down to the water, another up to them, high above. Timmy sits up.
The ticket's over, Mr. Crocus.
Timmy stands and nudges Mr. Crocus with his foot.
Mr. Crocus? Are you all right, Mr. Crocus?
At school.
The aftermath of the operation was complicated. First, they debriefed my mother on the Russian plot. Then, she debriefed her boss.
His mom paces in a parking lot. She gets in her SUV.
But the operation was so top secret that my mother didn't want to debrief me.
She and Timmy drive in silence. Timmy watches her cautiously.
Until we got home.
We're suspended for 3 days, Timmy. 3 days. They wanted to expel you. If your counselor hadn't stepped in, then we'd be looking for a new school. Are you listening to me?
Of course, but shouldn't you be returning to work, Mother?
Yeah, I should, but I'm not. Do you want to know why? Because when I told my boss that I had to stay home and take care of you for the next 3 days, he told me not to bother coming in at all. He fired me.
I can pay you 10 times what he's paying.
No, you can't. This has to stop. You're going to middle school next year.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to middle school. I am moving my agency downtown. We've talked about this.
She storms upstairs.
You don't have an agency, Timmy. Not anymore.
In the office, she grabs items from the desk.
What are you doing?
Something I should have done a long time ago. I'm putting an end to all of this. Pretending. I'm shutting it all down.
Stop!
No! You have got to understand that there are consequences.
Hey! That's my official license! I need that! I have open cases!
No, you don't. You're a kid. Kids don't have open cases.
I can't operate my agency without a license?
Exactly! You're going to stop running your agency. You're going to start acting like a normal kid.
A normal is for normal people. You told me that.
I was wrong. I was wrong, Timmy. You have got to fit in. You've got to grow up. Do you understand?
Affirmative.
I didn't hear you.
Yes.
She stalks past him. He turns, watches her, and frowns.
And just like that, I lost my agency.
Timmy puts Hammy Ham's box on Maxine's doorstep. The lid reads, "Smells, Barry ASAP."
That meant no more clients.
Timmy and Total look at the empty attic.
No more office. No more house.
His mom's SUV pulls away. Total lies on the sidewalk at an apartment.
A man without his agency is like a turtle without his shell.
Timmy sits amid boxes. Total squeezes in and knocks boxes over. On the river.
Stripped of his place.
At the Before I Die sign.
And his purpose.
He crosses off Achieve Greatness.
Destined for mediocrity.
At school on Mr. Jenkins' door, an envelope intel work terminated.
Thus, I had no choice but to surrender to my fate.
Mr. Jenkins picks up the envelope and looks around. In class,
the mindless monotony of the normal life.
Molly and Rolo look ahead at each other, then sit.
Hey, Timmy.
Welcome back, Timmy.
Timmy writes at the desk.
Where's your scarf?
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Karina.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning, everyone. So sorry I'm late. My alarm clock didn't go off. Can you believe it?
Crocus is gone. That's his replacement.
She said he's on vacation, but I think it's because of what happened with you at the dam.
My dad said Crocus snapped.
Adding insult to injury, the loss of Frederick Crocus. A man I deeply admired.
Timmy, come home!
In the apartment, Timmy watches TV.
Hi.
Hi.
How was school?
Good.
Got any homework?
I did it.
Oh, good. I'll get dinner ready then.
Okay.
Timmy stares ahead blankly.
Timmy, everything's gonna be all right. I even found a new job.
Okay.
She blinks and walks away, biting her lip.
The good news about Mother's new job should have lifted my spirits. But as her employment fortunes rose, mine continued to fall. With no clients and no agency, I had no choice but to lay off my only employee.
At the Oregon Zoo, Total nudges Timmy, who shakes his head.
So Total and I agreed to part ways as two professionals.
Total nuzzles Timmy's face. Timmy grabs onto Total's head and hugs tightly. In flashback, Timmy's mom yells at the man who leaves them. Total crashes through the back door. In the present, Timmy still hugs Total. Total gently disengages and walks into the zoo. Timmy frowns.
But sometimes the professional can sure feel personal.
Brows knitted, Timmy watches Total leave. Total looks back as he walks inside.
And being normal can sure feel lonely.
On the river, Timmy sits alone beneath the love sign. The lights in love go off.
Not to mention puzzling.
At school, Timmy follows paw prints on the carpet to a sign, "Find Your Way to Saving Animals."
Hi, Timmy. Want to buy a cookie to support animal awareness?
I don't have any money.
Just take one. They're really good.
Karina slides him an owl cookie. On the playground...
You gonna eat that cookie or just stare at it?
I'm not hungry.
Mr. Jenkins sits beside Timmy against the fence.
I got your intel. It's very good. Why'd you miss our meeting?
I don't need to go anymore. I'm being normal now.
Got it. So what's the plan?
Go to middle school. Act like them.
Timmy looks out at the kids playing.
You can't be like them.
Why not?
Because you're different. That's right. Your life is big and original and weird. And you?
I don't have a choice. I had to close the agency.
It's a bad break. I suppose it has something to do with the dam and getting suspended.
Mistakes were made.
By you?
Timmy looks up at Mr. Jenkins.
You left that part out. Agency or no agency? You make a mistake, you own it. Then you learn from it and adapt.
Adapt?
Absolutely. You see, professionals take whatever the world throws at them and they use it to become a better version of themselves. Like I did when my car got stolen. That's right. From right in front of my house. Sucked.
You should have contacted my agency.
I didn't know you then. The point is, after the car got stolen, I had no way to get to work. But I love my work. Like you. It's who I am. So I adapted. Started riding my bike to school. Wasn't gonna let a stolen car stop me. And I lost 10 pounds from bike riding, so it's all good.
You lost 10 pounds?
Yes, I lost 10 pounds. So I'm not gonna tell you how to run your business, okay? But I do know, if you love what you do, you gotta fight for it. And if something isn't working, you gotta adapt. You do that, no one can take away your agency, not your mother, not Mr. Crocus, not going to middle school.
Timmy looks at Mr. Jenkins, who rises and dusts off his pants.
Enjoy your cookie.
Mr. Jenkins walks off. Timmy picks up the cookie. He examines it closely.
A wire?
A small wire sticks out of the cookie. Timmy grabs it and pulls out a tiny box from inside. It's marked Russian listening device.
And that's when it hit me. Russians never quit. And neither could I.
The kids on the playground stop playing and stare at Timmy. Karina yanks off headphones, as do the hipsters and the chef.
That meant I was going to need my partner.
Timmy marches through the playground. He runs along the Misfits mural, now wearing his scarf. At the Before I Die board, he writes, "Reclaim greatness." Behind a truck, he peers through his mother's compact.
But retrieving Total was a daunting task, which meant it was time to collaborate with local law enforcement, even if it was low level.
Hey,
stay about
there, Roy.
Crispin exits a police station. Timmy lurks behind the old truck, watching him. Crispin tosses a duffel bag in the truck bed.
Hello.
Crispin startles.
Hey, Timmy. Scared me. Everything all right?
Would I be standing here if it was?
Oh, guess not. Is it about your mom?
Negative. About the zoo. I need admission. It's urgent.
Okay. Why?
Timmy stares at Crispin and bites his lip. Crispin crouches in front of him.
Hey, man. You can trust me. Really. I'm a solid dude.
A Russian agent stole the failure mobile so she could destroy my agency and achieve her master plan. That forced me to part ways with my business partner. I want him back.
And he's at the zoo?
Correct. He's a polar bear.
Are you serious?
Timmy nods.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing. I really appreciate it. And second of all, that is awesome.
Timmy smiles.
Affirmative.
At the zoo.
Here are your tickets. Please enjoy the zoo.
All right. Where's the polar bear enclosure?
It is right here, but it's closed.
How come?
Renovations.
Where are the polar bears?
Utah, Hogle Zoo.
Utah.
Absurd.
It's not absurd.
It is too.
You're absurd.
Hey, hey. Just right there, but he's just a kid and he's really upset, all right?
He's a rude kid.
Well, he's just under the impression that his partner's at this zoo. Let me get some clarity on that situation. We'll figure this out, all right? Hang tight. Timmy. Timmy?
Crispin looks around. Timmy is gone.
Timmy!
At the gateway to the Arctic exhibit, Timmy rushes up to a padlocked chain-link fence. He pulls out his walkie-talkie.
Papa Bear, Papa Bear, Operation Extract is in full effect.
He lifts the chain, squeezes through a gap in the fence, and runs off. In the exhibit, Timmy walks down a darkened corridor to a large glass window, looking into a tank of water. Timmy stares at it. Into the walkie-talkie.
Papa Bear, it's time to come home. Repeat. It's time to come home. Papa Bear?
Sunlight shimmers through the empty water.
Total?
Head bowed, Timmy walks away from the tank. He stops, walkie-talkie in hand. Timmy grins.
Toto!
He runs back to the tank. From behind a large rock, Toto swims underwater toward Timmy. Toto pushes off against the glass, does a barrel roll, and sweeps back. Timmy beams at him. Toto swims up to the glass and blows bubbles from his nose. Timmy presses his hand to the glass. Toto holds his large paw against Timmy's palm on the other side. Timmy smiles. Toto pushes off the glass and floats up, out of sight. Outside, Crispin speaks to park security.
Last time I saw him, we were at the ticket booth. He's about this high. He's got brown hair. He's wearing shorts, a striped T-shirt, and a...
red scarf.
Ugh. Timmy, are you okay?
Affirmative.
Where'd you go?
To find my bear.
And?
Liberated.
Crispin smiles.
Right on.
Crispin drives to an intersection. A stop sign reads, "Stop and smell the roses." Bicycles and cars pass through the intersection.
Ah, your mom calling.
Throw it away. It might be tapped.
I'll call her back when we park.
And Timmy, thanks for letting me help, man. Really, it means a lot that you trusted me. I want you to know that.
Thank you for sharing.
Ha! Ah!
A large man with his face covered runs past their truck holding a purse.
Hey! He took my purse! Hey!
That was a purse snatcher.
I know.
Shouldn't you stop him?
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, I guess I should, yeah, okay.
Crispin makes a right and follows the thief.
He went down that alley!
Okay, I got it.
Crispin pulls into the entrance of the alley. The purse snatcher rounds a fence to the right.
There he goes!
Okay, I got it. Wait here, don't move.
Crispin hops out and quietly speed walks down the alley. Timmy looks at the keys still in the ignition. Crispin sneaks along, looking to his right. He walks up behind a house. The thief sifts through the purse.
Freeze, man.
Who are you?
The police.
You're a cop?
Parking enforcement.
You're a meter maid.
Okay, just hand over the purse, buddy.
Sure. Here you go.
Timmy watches Crispin move out of sight.
I really appreciate you doing the right thing here, man.
Thanks, but I'm actually going to do the wrong thing.
The thief clobbers Crispin's nose, then jumps on his back.
Get off me!
Toto looks up from the bed of the truck.
He needs backup.
Timmy slides into the driver's seat. He buckles the seatbelt. Crispin and the thief wrestle to the ground.
What is your problem?
No one likes a meter maid.
I know. I'm trying to change that, though, by engaging in a...
The thief knocks Crispin's head.
No one cares.
Here we go. Hang on.
Timmy puts the truck into drive, grips the steering wheel tightly, and presses the gas.
Here comes backup.
The truck hurtles toward the two men. They break apart and roll to opposite sides as the truck rushes past.
Timmy
sticks a thumbs up out the window. He passes a man in a garage. He hits trash cans. Trash flies into Total's face.
Prepare for impact!
The truck races out of the alley, across the street, and hits a curb. In slow motion, the truck becomes airborne. Inside the truck, weightless, Timmy's scarf floats into the air. His mouth hangs open. Total hangs onto the truck bed. Inside a house, in slow motion, water pours into a teacup. A shadow darkens glass animals on a shelf. Eyes wide open and mouth agape, Timmy, Total, and the truck smash into the house through the window. Mr. Crocus turns, kettle in hand, mouth open. He opens the door to a room. The truck is through the wall, halfway inside. Toto sniffs the air. Mr. Crocus's mouth hangs open. Timmy sits up in the truck and looks around, dazed. Mr. Crocus's eyes widen when he sees him. He drops the kettle.
Mistakes were made.
In the alley, Timmy watches the thief and Crispin.
But not today. Today, I would act like a professional. A real professional. And let local law enforcement do their job.
A police car pulls into the other end of the alley.
You in the truck. I can't get by. Move you and your big fat dog out of my way.
Timmy's brows raise.
So I did.
He backs up the truck.
And it hurt.
the truck gently crashes into a pole. Total's head bobbles. In a hospital, Timmy's mom rushes in. He sits on a bed.
Timmy! Hi. Hi, are you okay? Tell me you're okay.
I'm okay.
You're okay? Okay. He's okay?
He's okay, and he's very lucky. I'll give you 2 a moment.
Okay, thank you.
She crouches in front of him.
Sorry it took me so long to get here. I came as soon as Crispin called me. Where's Crispin?
Talking to the police. We apprehended the purse snatcher.
You did? Oh, that's good. Oh, God, I'm just happy that you're safe. I thought there's something, I thought something bad had happened to you. And they didn't tell me what had happened, so I didn't know.
She rubs her forehead.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
She stops and stares, eyes wide.
You are?
Yes. I was just trying to get my agency back. I need it. Especially if I have to go to middle school.
She sits beside Timmy on the bed. She wipes her eyes, then looks at Timmy, who watches her.
I want you to have your agency back.
What you said?
I know what I said. I was upset. I made a mistake.
You did?
Yeah.
She runs her hand through his hair.
Yeah, I make lots of them.
So do I.
She pulls him close.
We're both going to do better. Together, okay?
Affirmative.
She kisses his head.
Excuse me.
Timmy grabs his recorder.
Note to file. Reconsider hiring mom.
She embraces Timmy. Outside, in a parking lot, Crispin hoses off his cart.
Hello.
Jeez, hey. Timmy. How you doing, buddy?
I'm here on professional matters.
Timmy holds out a folded blue paper. Crispin opens it.
Rally for Animal Awareness Month, right on. I'll try to come.
I could use the backup.
Hey, you know what? I stumbled upon something you might be interested in. It's,
Crispin glances around.
It's Russia-related.
Timmy cocks his head in a police garage.
My mother will be at the rally for your information.
Yeah? She's still mad at me?
Affirmative. But the ice is breaking.
Yeah, I really screwed up.
Mistakes were made.
Story of my life.
Mine too.
They walk past rows of bikes and stop. Crispin points to the failure mobile.
It was illegally parked.
Impossible. Did you tell my mother?
No. I just saw it this morning during inventory. How do you want to play it?
Timmy pulls out his recorder.
Note to file. Possible police collusion with the Russians.
Timmy's helmet hangs from the handlebars.
The crimes were piling up. Gunner's backpack, a dead hamster, and double-dealing cops. But was I surprised? Negative. After all, this was Portland. Stump town. A place rife with crime, corruption, and Russians.
In a park, the Russian food truck is parked behind rows of people sitting on the grass. The hipsters and chef watch a band play led by Mr. Jenkins. He gestures to the band. Timmy's mom and Rolo applaud. On stage, Flo steps to a mic.
Thank you to the Carveret Elementary Student Teacher Band, and thank you all for being here today. Our young activists worked very hard to put this all together, and I'm damn proud of them. And you should be too. I'm serious. Clap.
Crispin claps.
Good. Now welcome our student organizer, Molly Moskins.
Molly wears a white outfit and tiger mask. She walks to the mic.
Where's Timmy?
I don't see him. Or my Segway, for that matter.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome,
what?
Everyone.
Nothing.
We, the students of Carvera Elementary School, urge you to join us in celebrating the glory that is the animal world and our commitment to wildlife conservation.
Crispin and Timmy's mom wave to each other.
We dedicate this rally to our late class hamster, the beloved Hammy Ham. May his soul rest in peace.
Maxine grimaces from the crowd.
And now, please welcome to the stage, Timmy Failure.
No.
Timmy rolls out on the failure mobile. Total lumbers behind.
There's Timmy, and he has your Segway.
He does.
The handlebars tap the mic. Timmy looks at the crowd. Total sits.
Greetings, fellow humans.
Mr. Jenkins smiles. Timmy's mom leans forward, brows furrowed.
Oh, boy.
Please be advised that this school has a no polar bear policy on campus. That is not just.
I'm gonna kill him.
You're the one who told him to stand up and be heard. A polar bear may be different. He may be lazy. He may eat garbage. And he may have a poor attitude. But he is also a vulnerable species and worth protecting.
Molly applauds.
For a polar bear is loyal and noble and capable of greatness.
His mom's face softens to a smile.
In fact, all of the animals in this rally are capable of greatness.
She claps and grins.
Right on.
Oh, he's so delicious.
So it may be time for us to move on to middle school. It may be time for us to adapt to a new way of life. But it will never be time for us to stop being us. You can tell that to our parents. You can tell that to our teachers. And you can tell that to the Russians.
The crowd stands.
Go, Timmy!
God bless Coverett Elementary. God bless Portland. And God bless Frederick Krunkus.
Total stands on his hind legs. Mr. Jenkins plays the trumpet. Children in animal costumes dance. Timmy's neighbors sway. Molly dances while Flo grooves in her seat. Two women wearing vests like Flo twirl. A sign reads, "Only you can prevent extinction." Crispin points, acknowledging Timmy.
It was a moment of unmitigated triumph.
Rolo dances. Timmy's mom stands, hands on hips. She looks at Crispin, who grooves. She grins and sways.
I only wish that Frederick Krunkus, an educator unrivaled, could have been here to witness it.
Timmy looks at the Russian food truck, the two bearded hipsters, and Karina, who waves at him.
But then I knew why he wasn't.
Hammy ham in the box. Karina turns off Portland's power, the Russian listening device. Karina with the cookie. Mr. Krunkus looks out from a cell inside Evil Inc.'s water tower lair. On the St. John's Bridge, Timmy rolls along on the failure mobile.
She was plotting more evil. And we would be there to stop it.
Total walks beside Timmy. They continue across the bridge. Credits roll.
Who leads a life of danger? To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away your name. Faces that you find. A pretty face can hide an evil mind. Oh, be careful what you say, or you will give yourself away. Odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret Asian man, secret Asian man. They've given you number and taking away your name.
swinging on the Riviera one day, and then laying in the Bombay Alley next day. I know you let the wrong word slip while kissing persuasive lips. The odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number and taken away your name. Secret agent man.
Audio description created by Zoo Digital, funded by Disney Plus Originals, written by Sarah Ormaney and narrated by Sophia Cruz.